Hey guys, welcome to the Pondering Nerdcast, sponsored by Gaming Rebellion. This is episode 10 of our nice little show here. And, you know, with me tonight is Nate Rowe.
Yo.
And Alyssa Spector.
Hi guys.
And I am, of course, Lance John, the maniac. You know, I think the spinning logo behind us is modeled off my hair, because I'm trying to get some spikes going, but it's not really working very well for me right now. But yeah.
Just trying to get some spikes going.
Just,
you'll be Black Goku.
Goku. Yes. Just so I could just go into random stores and just yell it. Like, what are you doing? I'm powering up, man. Leave me alone. It's like, but yeah, anyway, let's start off with our first topic of the evening. I would say the biggest topic of the evening. It's Fallout 4. And, you know, if you have played any of the Fallout games, then, and you're a big fan of it, then this is probably a big treat for anybody who is a big fan of this particular franchise. And because last week when we spoke on, when we were talking on the show about our E3, you know, coverage that we did, the pre-coverage, I should say, we mentioned that Bethesda will be presenting for the first time in E3 history to us, the masses. And they just like recently just dropped a trailer and it was like, here you go, 3 minutes of fun. And I was like, shit.
Yeah, it was really interesting the way that they did it because, you know, they said that the day before they put up this website that was like a 24-hour countdown to something. And we can only assume it was going to be Fallout. Obviously, it had the please stand by and kind of the static ETV type deal. And then, you know, the next day, I'm thinking, I was thinking in my head that we're going to get a 30-second little teaser that's something to the effect of, you know, we'll hear the old music in the background, we'll, you know, we might have some dark, ominous voice saying something, but maybe we'll see a shot of the wasteland, but nothing. Like, this was 3 minutes of solid, like, in-game footage, and that really, really got my hopes up for it. At least for it being way more ready than we might have thought. Like a few days ago, like a week ago, if you had asked me, you know, yeah, they're going to announce Fallout 4, when you think the date's going to be, I would have put it off way into the following of next year, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But with that much gameplay being shown, it's rumored that we could possibly see that in 2015. So that's what's got me so excited right there.
And like there's so many discussions I see happening around the trailer alone. Like there are like a half an hour breakdown of the trailer. This means this, that means that, and Easter eggs and all this other stuff. People are very excited about this, and it definitely, I feel like Bethesda co-opted E3 in a way, and just like, you know, boom, here you go, we're first to the party. And I was like, Jesus. And but it just leads, it actually makes me more excited, because now I really want to see what else they're going to talk about at E3. Like, they're showing us this, and I believe there's a pre-order. You can actually pre-order the game now for, I think, all the consoles, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I couldn't even tell you. I haven't been on PlayStation Store, but I would assume that very soon, if you can pre-order it right now, there's really no point because you don't have a date to it.
Right.
Like, if you go and pre-order it right now, well, as of today, which is Thursday, this won't go up till Monday, but you know, once that pre-order date gets set, at least you can have a better gauge of how long your money's going to be tied up for.
Yeah,
like, I would strongly urge no one to pre-order something that is so far off we have no idea.
Right. Because like, there is no other information in the game besides just some, you know, really good scenery. Like, I would say, like, this is a really big bump in the graphics, too. Like, a huge bump. Like, it's like, because, I mean, the other ones wasn't bad, but it just looks so much more vibrant and colorful and just interesting. Like, the entirety of it all just looks really good. And this looks like in-game, this is in-game engine, if I'm not mistaken, right? What they're showing off.
Yeah, everything with the Fallout 4, as far as we know, I mean, we can only assume that it's all in-game engine. It's definitely not quality enough to be some CGI crazy trailer, you know what I mean? So, my take on it is it's all in-game engine. And if it is all in-game engine, kind of like I said, you know, it's a way better gauge as to a timetable that we're going to see on it. And like I said, I'm really thinking it's going to be 2015. So,
you think it's going to drop this year?
Yeah, I think they're going to, I mean, with a trailer that's 3 minutes long, that's that substantial.
Yeah.
Something tells me they're going to come out to the show and they're going to say, you know, you can get it this time of year. And I would even, there's a rumor going around, I would even go so far as to say they say, you can get it this date, and oh, by the way, there's a, you know, 30-minute demo online right now. You can go try, which would be freaking awesome. So even if it's only like running around the first little vault that you start out in, and go talk to people and figure out, you know, like make a character and, you know, this, that, and the other, it'd still be cool. So I don't know.
That would be cool. Like, and it'd be cool if you could create your character, and like when you actually get the game, you can take that character into the game. You know, like it's like something substantial, you know?
Actually, well, I will go ahead and say the trend in the gaming industry is that usually never happens. Usually, like, and I can just say from recently, like with Destiny, and there was another game that it did that to me as well. But yeah, like with Destiny specifically, I played Alpha and Beta. And then, you know, obviously the regular game when it came out, and nothing carried over. Like, Alpha didn't carry over to Beta, Beta didn't carry over to regular game. It was really disappointing, because I put a lot of hours into that Beta on Destiny, and nothing. Like, had to start all over when it came out, but yeah.
That sucks, man.
You know, I'd still be fun to play, though. Like, that demo, I'd still be happy to play 30 minutes and then have to redo it later on. That'd be all right.
I'm going to get it on PC if there's a demo, and also Xbox, and stream them both and just do comparison or some nonsense or whatever. But then again, it's just a demo, so it doesn't really make no sense to do a comparison for that type of, you know, for a demo, because it's not the final product.
Demos are just slices of games that they just happen to have ready for public testing, you know what I mean? So
hopefully it does come out this year. But speaking of a game that I've been waiting for it. Creator of what's the name of the damn game? Can't remember now. I'm blurring a blank. You know, the guy with the blue suit and shoots things out his hands? Mega Man. Yeah.
Oh, I
see. Mighty Number 9?
Yeah, Mighty Number 9. Now, the guy who created it, I do not remember his name. I think it's Kenji Inafune. I could be wrong about that. Do not quote me on that, please. But yeah, he left the company that that published Mega Man and struck that on his own to create Mighty Number 9. And he did that through Kickstarter, which was very successfully funded. And finally, there's a trailer with gameplay and an actually announced date for the game itself, and you can pre-order it on Steam for $20 right now, which is, I think, awesome, you know. And the trailer itself is about 1 minute and 20 seconds long. It does show you, you know, substantial gameplay. It looks a lot like what we remember in Mega Man. There's really no big difference besides like a graphical, bump in everything. It looks pretty good though. Like the trailer itself, I think they released a 720p 60 frame per second one, so it looks really smooth, very nice. And you know, it has the same mechanics of you destroy the enemy, you get their power in some way, and then you go and you fight the next person, blah blah blah, and stuff like that. So it definitely is all that. Have you guys heard about Mighty Number 9 or even care? Like, it's even around?
I've heard of it. It looks fun, but. Yeah, when I first saw it, I said, "Oh, it's just looks like Mega Man."
Well, yeah, it's a successor to Mega Man, you know, like.
But a hyped up version of Mega Man.
Definitely. Like, I remember when this Kickstarter first came out, and when this guy first started trying to get pledges, like he hit his pledge goal quick, like really quick. People wanted to see, you know, an updated version of Mega Man, but something that wasn't Mega Man, basically,
right?
And I think this, like, I'm not even into 2D side scrollers, but this one looks fun. It looks fun. Like, they, it looks like they took all the mechanics of Mega Man that I'm sure that difficulty is probably still going to be there, at least in doses, you know, but they added all this flashiness, all this 100 points, 100 points, 100 points, and, you know, and then, you know, all the big explosions and all this, you know, so yeah, like, it looks awesome. Like, as somebody who doesn't even play 2D games, it looks like it could be great. Like, that, that looks like it, it, do we know what console's coming, that's coming to? Because, is it just Steam?
It doesn't, like, from what I understand, I think they say it's supposed to come out for all consoles under the independent umbrella. So I'm guessing you'll be able to download it through any store, you know?
Okay.
Because it's,
I was thinking, you know, that would be an awesome 3DS game.
If they could, I wonder, it would. Yeah, definitely.
I wonder if they would even be able to put, like, a 3D value to it or, whatever.
It would look awesome in 3D, I think. Yeah, because... You know, I'm happy that he was able to actually get this, like, funded as quick as it did, and now he actually is delivering on it, and you'll be able to get your game when it comes out now. I never really checked out the Kickstarter itself. I knew about it, but I just figured I'd just wait, and then I'll just, you know, and hope, it got funded, so it didn't need any money from me, so I'll just wait till it comes out, then give more money.
And I have to be honest, like, it's... Now that we live in the day and age where we can do DLC, even though I'm somebody that I hate to hear about DLC for a game that before a game comes out or whatever, but this one would actually be kind of cool because it would be like Mega Man, but he'd be able to add another 9 bosses later on down the road or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
yeah.
He can add more content later if he wanted to. I don't know if he has plans to do that or not, but... That's pretty cool. I just thought about that. I'm sorry. So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
It's funny when you read the comments about this, though. Everybody's complaining that they wish it was sprite-based and not 3D.
What? Come on, man. Like, okay. I don't have a problem with sprites, and you know, but I get tired of those games very quickly when I'm playing them. They're not visually appealing for me. Like, and I don't see the point of me having a souped up computer or even like a, you know, a PS4 or Xbox One that can do all this crazy amazing shit, and it's like, oh, 16-bit, awesome, yay.
Well, like, to be fair, it has to go with like the art design, you know, it has to go with the art direction they're going for. Like, I loved Odin Sphere, and that was like 2D with, I guess, sprites and, yeah, and it looked fantastic. It, like I said, it has to do with, you know, the gameplay and the art direction
that they're going with. Yeah,
yeah, I think he specifically wanted to make this game look more up to date. He wanted to make a Mega Man, but like I said, it's not Mega Man, but it's something that's current. It's up to date. You know what I mean? The graphic wise, at least. You know what I mean? I think he wanted to make something that was more universal nowadays. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know.
I was just saying, like, some sprite work can be really freaking fantastic. Like, have you ever heard of Paul Robertson, sprite artist? He did the animations for the Scott Pilgrim video game.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. That was actually very well done.
Check out his work. It's got amazing stuff on there. So, yeah, some sprite stuff can be pretty freaking awesome. But, you know, like I said, it depends on the direction of the game that they're going for. So.
I get you. I see what you're saying. But anywho, Mighty No. 9, September 15th. You know, if you've got 20 bones, drop it, get it, you know, whatever makes you happy. But moving on to our next topic here. This one is Dark Souls 3, an E3 reveal rumored that, you know, will be coming out here. Do you know, what do you know about this, Nate?
I was kind of even hesitant to put this as a topic because it's like a rumor that we might hear another rumor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's basically what it is. But I'm just such a fan of the series after playing. And I'm a late bloomer. Like, I still have not played Demon's Souls or Dark Souls. And I'm sure anybody that has played that and is listening to this is like, what? You didn't play the best games. What? And I didn't play it either. Yeah.
I haven't played it.
You know what I mean? I played Bloodborne, and I played... I actually played Bloodborne first, and then I played Dark Souls 2 after the remastered came out on PS4 or whatever. And I loved them. In fact, I loved Dark Souls more than I liked Bloodborne. I felt there were a lot more options in Dark Souls 2 as far as being able to really make a character different. Like, I felt in Bloodborne it was kind of, didn't really matter where your stats went. It was all slash, 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 and then you would shoot your gun to stun somebody. And, I mean, I'm sure by now people have been able to make some different builds, maybe with some magic and stuff, but
right.
I don't know. I felt like Dark Souls 2 was way... Anyway, all that aside, it just got me really excited because Dark Souls 3 comes out. I mean, there's a huge, huge following for the Souls games. So, I mean, this is going to be... Like, Bloodborne was not a... predecessor to, you know, Dark Souls. Like, it has nothing to do with that. So this one is going to be a direct, you know, threequel, I guess you could say. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, this does come to pass, I'd be interested in to see what they have to say. I've always been intrigued by that series. I've never touched it because it just looks ridiculously hard. I don't feel like breaking a keyboard or chucking a controller right now. but I do enjoy really difficult games. It's very satisfying when you get through like a difficult stage or a boss or something like that. Like, it's like, yeah, skills or whatever.
Yeah, no, I feel you, man. I am, and I've said this to a lot of people, you know, I'm usually the guy that puts it on easy just to play through a game. You know what I mean? Like, I have no shame in it. I don't care. I'll put it on easy and just,
yeah, like, I. Yeah, usually
life's hard enough, right? Life is hard enough. We don't need to be pulling our hair out when trying to do something we enjoy. I should say this is all the rumor originally started from VG247. They're saying that Bandai Namco is going to announce that, and the site goes on to say that. And I'm reading this from a GameSpot article. That we'll have in the description, but basically the guy who did the other ones has been signed on. He'll be supervising it. He supervised Dark Souls 2. Pretty much the whole team that worked on Dark Souls 2 will be going to work on Dark Souls 3. So, I don't know. I'm wondering with Bloodborne being an exclusive to PS4, I'm wondering if somebody's going to try and snatch this up as an exclusive.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's a pretty substantial franchise.
I hope it doesn't go one way or the other. You know how? Oh man, that would create such an uproar. People, if one generation couldn't get it, like, you know, Sony people couldn't get it or Microsoft people couldn't get it.
That'd be kind of crappy. Or maybe like a time, what do you call it? Time exclusive? Like, for 6 months, you can only get it on that thing.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, if they have ties with Sony right now, Sony might be the front runner if that was going down. I mean, with Bloodborne being a Sony exclusive, you would think that Sony has the front runner seat in trying to snatch it up if that was going to go down that way. But I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We shall see what they say. You know. Anyway, moving on to the next topic. So Steam announced that they're doing refunds for digital games. Now, as we all know, if you are a gamer, worth your salt, that you've pretty much bought DLC or you've bought digital games at some point, not just in Steam, but like, you know, on Xbox Live or the PlayStation Store or whatever. And the biggest problem, well, I don't know if it's the biggest problem, but for me in particular, is the biggest problem is like, I would buy a game, I never heard of this publisher or whatever, and it's complete crap. You know, and I'm like, fuck, what do I do with this thing? Like, I just sit here, I can't take it back to a store. Even with stores, like, I would go buy PC games. I remember when GameStop used to sell PC games, and I would buy a game from them. I was like, I didn't like this, and I take it back. I was like, oh, did you use the serial number? I was like, well, yeah. How else would I install it? Like, you know, they're like, oh, it's tied to your computer now. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me with this shit, right? it's like even though I uninstalled the game and it's no longer on my hard drive anywhere, and it's removed from whatever account I have it hooked up to it. You know, that was like one of my gripes there. But yeah, Steam has come up with this like rundown of what they will refer to as refunds. And it's quite interesting. Like, from, I mean, they did refunds before, but it was more of a 20, you had to hit them back within 48 hours to get your money back, you know? And now they're saying, like, it's been extended to, like, DLCs, but that 48 hours window is now applied to that and not applied to the game itself. I think you have, I believe, up to 2 weeks to, you know, like, return a game digitally in some way. And they will, like, send the money back to your Steam wallet, you know?
Well, they'll send it back to whatever, however you purchased it. If you purchased it via debit card, it'll go back to your bank account. If you purchase it, they said if they can't refund it for some reason, there was something to do with it. It'll just automatically go to your Steam wallet if they have a problem going to your bank account or something like that. But
yeah, like there's some way you recoup the costs in one way or the other.
Who really gets shafted in this, I guess, it would be the developers, because, you know, unfortunately, like, some developers, you know, at least indie makers and stuff, they make stuff as a passion project, and, you know, they'll put it up, they'll get it Steam lit, and they'll put something up, and somebody will buy it, and even if it's crap, at least that person, you know, gets a little bit of money to then try to get better. You know what I mean? Like, he can put a little funds into some of the programs. He can put a little funds here, you know. And now, if somebody has 14 days to, you know, decide whether or not. Now, we should also say they have 14 days. You can't play the game for 14 days. You have 2 hours of actual
game. Or less,
Yeah, you just have a 14-day window to you know, try it for, you know, less than 2 hours, and if you don't like it, you can refund it. That's literally, like, it doesn't have to be anything wrong with your system or anything like that. You can straight up say, I don't like this. I don't like this game. I don't want to play it. You know, I played it for an hour. It's not fun. I want my money back. Yeah. They'll give you your money back. And that's what's that right there with the developers, that's got to suck, because I guarantee you now they're all going to have to be on a 14-day window of, if somebody buys your game today, you're not going to get it you're not going to get that purchase until two weeks from now.
Yeah,
to make sure that they don't refund that shit. And even then, later down the road, you're still going to have to worry about, I'm sure, because there's going to be some kind of refund shit after the 2 week shit that is going to come up. I mean, it just seems like it's going to put a whole much more on developers. It might not. I mean, there might be. I'm sure the guys at Steam are way smarter than I am, so maybe they already thought all this through and there's shit that I haven't seen. But
yeah, I would hope that they actually had a sit down with the people who create games for their platform to people to purchase. I mean, as a buyer, it's like, I'm excited. I wouldn't say I'm excited. I like that I have that option. You know, and I actually rarely use it, like, where I would refund a digital game that I bought on Steam, because usually I do a lot of research and I actually look at gameplay and I, you know, just make sure I know what I'm buying. But I think it's a good option to have, but it's kind of sucky for the developers, like Nate said. What do you think, Alyssa, about, like, digital refunds?
I mean, I like the idea that the option's out there, because there's been times where I'll buy a game and I'll be like, oh, I actually don't want to buy this one. Can I just transfer and get a different game? Like, I'm talking about, like, maybe on, like, the eShop on the Wii or the 3DS. Like, no, even if you delete the game, you could just re-download it. Like, I want to get a different game. But
like a trade-in, yeah.
Yeah, like a trade, but I can understand, like, you know, yeah, like you were saying, Nate, about indie developers, it's be terrible for, like, that 14-day, you know, window that you can probably beat the game in that time and be like, okay, beat it, now I'm going to return it, you know, and get my money back to buy a different game, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's why they put that 2 hour thing in there, because they were like, because I mean, they can, that Steam keeps track of, like, how long you play each game individually. Like, if you go through your library, it'll tell you how many hours you played this, blah, blah, blah. And I like that they give you 2 hours. Me personally, because I have a really crappy computer. And so sometimes I'll buy games, and when I go to play it, you know, I got to go mess with settings, and even that, you know, sometimes it's still super laggy, and right. I just can't, you know what I mean? It's just no fun. And I remember with Witcher 2, if I go click on it now, I forget. I believe it's like an hour and 17 minutes. All that hour and 17 minutes was trying to get it to work. Oh, wow. So that's why I'm saying, like, the two-hour thing is kind of cool with me, because that's at least, like, if I hit an hour and a half of trying to get your game to work and it don't work, yeah, I'm sorry. I want my money back. You know what I mean? And so I'm kind of – it kind of sucks that I didn't know you could do that. Like, the 48-hour thing, I didn't know that applied back in the day. Otherwise, I probably would have done that on a couple games just because my hardware sucks. But I think it's cool. I like the option. I'm glad that it's there. I'm kind of with you all that, you know, even though I don't think I would use it all the time, because I also – if I don't think my computer will run it, I just don't get it.
Right,
even,
yeah.
Even some older games, my computer has a little bit harder issue, time. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm with y'all. I don't think I'd use it all the time, but I'm for it. I like the option being there if you need it.
I should also mention, like, they do, like, at the end of the list, they have the stuff that they list of what they can refund. Like, they there are some movies you can buy on Steam, which is a little weird, I know, but it's like they do have like a section where it's like little videos and stuff you can buy. They don't refund that. If you've been caught by like an anti-cheat system in a game, you can't refund the game. Also you know, you can't refund gift, because you can buy a game and gift it to a friend of yours on Steam. You can't refund that those either. And also, if they feel that you're abusing the refund system, they will actually ban. They will actually stop offering the refund to you, like refunds to you. So it's like, you know, those are the stipulations under that. But everything else is like, you know, DLC, the game itself. It's a pretty cool concept. Hopefully the rest of, because I don't think Xbox Live and PlayStation Store does that, right? Like, you can't refund digital
No. Goods. In fact, at least on PlayStation, I can't vouch for Xbox because I don't have one right now, but for PlayStation, they are very straight up about all of purchases is a final, motherfucker.
It's like, well, you don't like it. Oh, well.
Buy it. Better love it. We're stuck with it. And that's another thing I wanted to say was I'm glad to see something of this nature, at least, because Steam is always the forerunner. It's like Steam does something and then the consoles will follow suit maybe a year later or something. And so I'm hoping that, we see some sort of, like, I would love a fucking trade system. Like, if they let you once a year, you know, you can take a used game that you don't want and trade it for something of equal value compared to what it's worth on the store.
I like that idea a lot.
That would be so fucking awesome, right?
That'd be super cool. Yeah,
but I see why they can't, because that's an exchange of licenses, and then somebody's got to get paid for something, and So I get it why there's a barrier, but at least this is small steps. This is baby steps towards what we'd like to see digitally in the future.
You know? So. You know, before I would tell people this, before you buy a game on Steam or anywhere else that, you know, you'd sell digital games, do your research, please. And, you know, so you know, I really want to play this game. You know, and if you can find a demo of it, get it first and then, you know, make your purchase or not. But anyway, let's move on to some different type of news here. Well, not news, but just more of what we hope for, I guess, this summer or the coming future. What movies we look forward to seeing that's coming out soon or whatever. You know, maybe we can enlighten some people about some movies that we haven't really thought of. But I'm going to start off with you, Nate. Like, what are some of the movies you're looking forward to this coming summer?
Well, I mean, I got three in that's going to be in the description, three trailers, and they are Red Band trailers, most of them, so, you know.
Yeah, no kids.
No kids. I don't know why a kid would be listening to our podcast anyway, but anyway, I saw the trailer for American Ultra, is what it was called, and when I first read that headline, that the name of that movie, I didn't even know what to expect. For some reason, I pictured like Hulk Hogan with a bald eagle on his shoulder, an American flag in the background. You know what I'm saying, or something. But it's actually a movie about this stoner guy who works at a gas station. He's like this regular old guy, Jesse Eisenberg, who's going to play Lex Luthor. So I guess anyway, he is a sleeper agent for like the FBI or CIA or something, and somebody activates him and he becomes all badass out of nowhere. And so it looked really cool. The Ted 2 looks awesome. I love Ted. The first one was great. So it'll be cool to see Ted 2. Can he keep up with the humor, you know, and the rate of the first one? Who knows? I guess that remains to be seen. But and then a free one that actually anybody that can watch Crackle, Joe Dirt 2 is coming out, and that one's going to be completely free if you own something that can stream. Have the app, the Crackle app on it. Yeah, you can watch Joe Dirt 2 mid July, I believe. So
his wig in this one looks much more ridiculous than the first one, but well, I still love it.
It's funny, right? Because he's gotten older, you know what I mean? Yeah. But he's trying to play the same character in around the same time frame. And I think actually in this one, you see it in the trailer, he actually like goes back in time,
right?
And stuff like that. So it looks like, I mean, it's probably going to be. They do bring back in the trailer. I don't know if it's actually in that one. I hope it is. Maybe at the end they do actually bring Christopher Walken back. If you remember in the first one, he's this ex-mafia guy, right? Well, in this one, like when he goes back in time, he's still in the mafia. So like he's still this crazy killer dude, and anyway, he's having like this serious conversation with Joe Dirt and scaring the shit out of him, and it looks good, man. I'm gonna watch it just for that. You know what I mean? Like, I doubt it's going to get really, really good laughs. I doubt it's going to be like a, holy shit, you got to go see this movie. Like, I doubt it's going to be, because otherwise it'd be in theaters, not Crackle.
Right. Yeah. It is a bit of like straight-to-stream kind of, But it's cool,
it'll
though.
Still have its chuckles. It'll still have its fucking, you know, Joe Dirt humor and shit. So, yeah. If you like the first one, you'll probably at least get a kick out of the second one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I loved the first one. I thought it was freaking hilarious movie, in my opinion. And I look forward to this one as well. I do have a Roku line around here, so I have Crackle on it. So I'll be able to watch it. Well, Alyssa, what movies are you looking forward to coming up?
As of right now, the only movies I'm really looking forward to this summer are Jurassic World.
Yes.
I love the Jurassic Park movies, even though the last two were but you know, dinosaurs and the
Watch
parks
your mouth.
Finally opened.
They were all great. They were all awesome. Except
they were
for
all great in their
parts
own
of the
way.
Third one.
No, they were all great in their own
they
way.
They were all
but
pretty. Yes.
The first one will always be the best, in my opinion. Yeah. But no, I like the dinosaurs, and I'm just, you know, it's like, oh, the park's finally open. What's gonna happen? It's obviously a terrible idea, but you know, it has Chris Pratt, you know, Star-Lord or Andy. From Parks and Recreation as the main star. Parks and Rec.
How do they, like, my question is, how do they not see shit going wrong? Like, you got these huge dinosaurs, and then you make a park out of it. How do they, like, not see shit going wrong? And I get it that in this one, they've, like, genetically modified the dinosaurs.
One of them, to make it smart. I was like, what?
Well, yeah, but yeah, that's what throws me off. It's like, why would you do that? You don't make giant one that can eat every last other one. You know what I mean? No, you don't make that one the smartest. Like, that can fuck the whole park up.
Why not make, like, one of the tiny dinosaurs, like, the really non-threatening one that eats plants?
But apparently it's not just that.
Could have him as a pet.
It's not just that, though. There's more than just one smart one, though, apparently, because, like, in the trailer, we see pterodactyls swooping in and, like, picking people up, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, just grabbing them as they're running and stuff. So, apparently, I don't know how, obviously, something goes wrong so that anarchy breaks loose in the park, and I don't know how that happens, but you have to, I mean... You don't learn from three movies worth of disasters.
People
that
died.
This is the worst thing you could do ever.
We're still gonna do it. We're still gonna get it open.
Cause science.
Because we could do it, and we want.
people. It just isn't like dinosaurs. Because when I first heard the announcement, I was like, okay. Then I saw the trailer. I was like, why would you? That's no. And then the thing is too, why would you experiment like with one of the most dangerous dinosaurs that they have? And why not a herbivore, like something that eat plants, like, you know, one of the ones that don't have bloodlust for freaking for humans, like,
because
just
that's not cool. Nobody
wants to see that. Nobody wants to see a stegosaurus go ham on a bush.
Like, I mean, why not? He could be like, I've developed a taste for human. it's like maybe
there's a reason behind it. Maybe they want to use it as like a weapon for the government or some.
Probably, yeah.
What I've heard in this one is one of the biggest things that they've got going on is that they've mutated a lot of different species together. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah, they did.
What was it? The Triceratops?
Yeah, like, they melded those two together, so we're going to see the Triceratops with the three horns. But we'll also see those huge fins going down the back with the spiky tail. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is so weird. I don't even know why they did that, but it's like, okay. I hope they explain it as they were crossbreeding in Power Kick.
They're probably refer all back to, we made it so that they're not going to attack. We made it so that they're not going to go ape shit. And right. Obviously they screwed something up because we already know something goes bad. You know? Yeah. So Chris Pratt has to save the day in his Indiana Jones looking gear. I mean, come on. Like, if he had the hat and the whip, he would be freaking Indiana Jones.
He should be Indiana Jones.
Didn't they suggest that he would become, like, the next Indiana Jones?
There are rumors about that.
Let's like, even Steven Spielberg even said, like, yeah, he could be the next Indiana Jones. Something like that. But the other movie I'm hyped for this summer is Ant-Man. Which I believe is coming out pretty soon, but I'm just excited for that because I like all the Marvel movies and, you know, the whole cinematic universe. And
I hope that one is just like Guardians of the Galaxy, where I know nothing about it, so I hope it surprises the crap out of me.
Yeah, I barely know anything about this particular Ant-Man. Like, I only know about, like, Hank Pym, you know, I don't know about this guy, you know.
I just find it funny that Paul Rudd is the main star in this movie. It's like, oh, first Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation, and now we have Paul Rudd. Like, these, you know,
unlikely stars.
Goofy, comedy, you know, comedy stars that just now they're become action stars. So I'm hoping like Ant-Man follows the same, you know, is in like the same. It has the same feel as like Guardians of the Galaxy, that it's just ridiculous and over the top and, you know, just fun.
That would be like an opportune time to poke fun at Honey, We Shrunk the Kids. We Shrunk Our Kids or something. That would be awesome. Like, if they made a reference to that in the movie, I just thought about that. But, like, yeah, like, no, I'm totally with you. I think they have the opportunity to tell a story to people that is kind of abstract and not a lot of people follow Ant-Man. And kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody gave two shits about who Guardians of the Galaxy, unless you were an extreme comic book fan, obviously.
Right.
Nobody really knew who the hell Guardians of the Galaxy were until the movie came out, and it blew everybody's mind. Everybody was like, yes, this is like the goofy Star Wars that we all been wanting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think this one, and now, just to be clear, the story of this takes place back in the 50s. This is supposed to take place back when Captain America is originally being made and all that stuff, correct? Like, I just want to... about that, Alyssa.
I mean, in the trailer, they showed like Thomas the Tank Engine. So
yeah, it's been. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure of the time period because they don't really show off a lot of the only technology that you see is like you do see some computer screens, which I can't really tell like what era they're trying to deal with. It looks modern day.
Well, it definitely wasn't 50s.
Yeah. I'm seeing flat panel monitors and stuff like that. So I don't know. Cause it's a little weird. The reason why I say I don't know anything about this particular Ant-Man, I think there's actually three Ant-Men in total, but I could be wrong about that. Cause the only two I know about, the first one is Hank Pym. He's supposed to be one of the original Avengers, and he's the one that actually created Ultron, but you know, movies and stuff now. It's like,
yeah, it's a different universe.
It's a completely different universe, yeah. And like, but it, the funny thing is, I think most of the Marvel movies comes from the Ultimate Universe of Marvel, and in that particular one, the Hulk actually eats people, and Hank Pym beats his wife. So,
Didn't he watch her? His wife. Isn't in the comic he's married to Wasp?
Or? Yeah, Wasp. Like in the Ultimate Universe, he is married to Wasp, and he does beat her in that. And I think Captain America gives him like the beating of his life when he found out that Hank Pym was beating his wife. And
hey, she shouldn't have been rolling around with B.
The crazy thing is, then they get back together. I heard later on.
Yeah, I think he changed or whatever, but I guess you know this particular. I don't think this particular movie is going to touch on that, but it should be interesting to see how that all plays together. And even if maybe he might show up in the Infinite Crisis movie or on a Civil War movie that they're planning. So we'll see if that happens. With that, any more movies, Alyssa, that you're looking forward to?
So far that's all there is for summer movies. I can't really think of any other movies I'm hyped for as of right now.
Okay, all right, cool.
Except for Star Wars,
that's in Christmas.
That one's an obvious for everyone, right?
It's like, we'll be there. It's like,
Star Wars is just like above everything on our lists.
Yeah, it's like that's king right now for everything for me. That's like how I view it. I would say for me, I'm not sure if this particular movie is coming out this summer, but it's you remember that story of that little boy who was battling cancer, and he made a wish and he wanted to be Batman in real life for a day. And it was Boston, if I'm not mistaken, they all got together and they made his wish come true. And it was just awesome and just a tearjerker. Like, you know, he ran to the city with an adult sized Batman and saved the day and got the girl and the whole nine. And it was just like just heartwarming. Like I couldn't, and then I never saw the entire thing happen, but now there's a movie or documentary of it coming out. And I gotta say, I'm in love. I was like, wow, this is just too surreal and just awesome. And it's just crazy to me how much people came together just to realize this kid one wish. It's so freaking cool. I can't wait. Like I must see this.
I think it took place in San Francisco.
San Francisco? Okay, yeah.
I think so.
Is that kid still alive? Is he still kicking it?
I believe he's still. I think he did. His cancer is remission. I could be wrong about that, but yeah, his.
I was gonna say, like, I'm totally gonna go to hell for saying this, but how many people are gonna be pissed if that kid lives? And it's like we just wasted all that resources.
No, I believe he's still alive. I hope he's still alive.
Don't get me wrong. That is it's a super. I remember when all that was going down, and that is. It sounds like a cool documentary. All the human spirit that went into that. Just the time, the effort, just to make this kid's day.
Yeah. And his suit was cool too. His suit that he had is really cool.
Makes you believe in humanity just a little bit. Gives you a little bit of hope that humanity is not as bad as you think it is sometimes.
Yeah, it was just awesome. And there were tweets from the president. There was tweets from the actors who played Batman. Just all supporting him. It was really, really cool. Cool. Just something really cool.
Christian Bale? I could be wrong. Didn't Christian Bale show up and talk to the kid or something? Like I could have swore it was something like that.
I think so, but I'm not entirely sure about that. But that's cool too. But Bat Kid Begins is the feature that's coming out June 26th. So it's June 26th. Oh, cool! In a couple weeks, yay! I will be watching that.
Where is that going to? Is that going to theaters?
I believe it's going to be on iTunes and theaters and stuff like that. But they didn't say how many theaters are going to release it. It says in theaters June 26th. It's being released by Warner Brothers, so I could see just.
So it'll probably be on Netflix by September.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah, I can see that happening. But yeah, that's one of the movies I'm looking forward to. The second movie, I wasn't looking forward to it until I heard a interview with one of the stars from Entourage. The guy who plays, he plays a chubby kid. I forgot his name. Stretch or something.
Turtle?
Yeah, Turtle, that guy. And I heard him on Aisha Taylor's podcast, Girl and Guy. And I didn't know he was from Brooklyn. And all this, he just, like, his personality just kind of, like, just the way he talked on the show and just the way who he is. And just kind of like, well, I guess I'm interested in the movie now. It's like, you know. But the trailer itself is actually pretty cool where it, like, starts out with the, like, the main character of a trailer of a movie he's in. And then he's then it like cuts to like, you know, the Entourage crew and everything like that. One thing about the movie that a lot of people don't know about, from the interview that I heard, Turtle, you know, he was fat in the original show, right? I think he was like 40 pounds heavier, if I'm not mistaken. And the Entourage movie is actually set to start 2 months after the show ended. And the director, he said, like, when he went back to shoot the movie, the director was like, you know, could you, like, wouldn't it be cool if you, like, gained the weight back for the movie? And he was like, yeah, that'd be cool, but you got to pay me, like, $100,000 a pound to get back to the weight that you want me to be. And I was like, ah, that's really good. You should, if you're going to retire that way, right? Not, right? To get all the money you need, because you don't know if this movie is actually going to make anything. But I'm sure it's, like, a lot of fans out there will dig it, you know? Like, I like that backstory, and I think it looks pretty cool. I do like most of the actors that they're showing off in this movie as well, so I think it's going to be funny. But it's one thing.
Yeah, I never saw the show. Like, I know it's on HBO, so I need to go back and watch it, because I have HBO Go. But yeah, I never watched the show. But I do know that it was loosely based around Mark Wahlberg's life. So, yeah. Like, there's one trailer where he's kind of, Mark Wahlberg's kind of like dropping a knowledge bomb on him and stuff like that. And that's kind of supposed to be the play, you know what I mean? I don't know how that happens in the movie or whatever, but yeah, that's supposed to be like the play is like, that's it, it, you know, the funny part. You know, that's it was supposed to be based on his life.
So yeah,
and I thought that was funny.
Yeah. One thing I should mention about the show, but I remember when I was watching it, they had this running joke where the Aquaman movie was going to be made. Funny enough, it is in the works to be made. the funny part of the show was they had James Cameron come in and you know, say he played himself on the show, like he was gonna direct the movie. I thought it was pretty funny. I don't know if the actual Aquaman movie is gonna be any good, but you know, we'll find out, I guess. We'll see.
Batman vs Superman this summer?
No, it's next summer or spring or something. I'm not
into it. 2015? I thought it was 2015. No?
Nah, 2016, yeah. It's just that people just won't shut up about it. Like,
how dare they? Like, they're like, they're announcing movies
1 year away
on the premise that this movie is going to do well.
Right.
And I honestly, at this point, I want to see them fall on their face. Like, I want Batman and Superman to come out and just be laughable. And, you know, like, because they're trying to jump in the ring with Marvel, who right. has a substantial film franchise already. They have stories that they've tied together. They have, you know, a schedule planned out as far as, you know, how we're going to see stories evolve and stuff. And DC is trying to throw in with these people. It's like Tyson fighting an infant, man. It's ridiculous. You
know? Yeah. I just don't see how
they have the goal to try and set up this kind of schedule. Like, we're going to put out this movie and this movie, and we're going to have these side projects. And it's like, dude, just get one movie out and have it be good before you start planning some crazy, you know what I mean? I feel like they would almost do better if they only kept this one movie, like, it, the secrecy is already blown on half of it, you know what I mean? But if they tried to make this their baby, and then once this is awesome, then they can build off that. But it's like, nope, we're going to try and build while we're still, you know, while the foundation is still kind of cementy and muddy, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna go ahead and try, so whatever.
Yeah, it does.
Sorry, nerd rant. Sorry.
No, I agree with you. I think DC, the movie side of them, just it just feels like me too. Some people would disagree with me, but you know, and I feel they're moving too fast, and I feel like, okay, you should establish for the general masses out there who don't know much about the characters you're trying to push onto them first, and then we go from there. You know, like Nate said, like, put out a movie first. I mean, they put out The Man of Steel, which had mixed results with fans and just people in general. And, you know, so it's like, you know, they didn't come out with like, there is no hit for them right now. There is no, besides, you know, Christopher Nolan's Batman, but that's Christopher Nolan's Batman. That's not like DC Universe Batman. That's not like, you know, what they're pushing now is this particular Batman and Batman versus Superman, which if you guys have been following all the leaks that's been coming out about Suicide Squad, there's like leaks galore of this movie. You do see Batman show up in that movie, and he this particular actor, whoever it is wearing the same suit that looks like the same suit from the upcoming Batman versus Superman movie. So it seems like they're going forward with that look, like they're trying to tie that in there somehow, which is...
Is Ben Affleck going to be in Suicide Squad? Or?
No.
That's what I was thinking. It was like, something tells me they're not going to be able to retain Ben Affleck for a series of Batman.
No, I really don't. No, it doesn't look like him. I think the guy who was in the suit looks like a stunt, like, you know, a stunt man or whatever. As they didn't really talk about who's playing Batman. We just saw him on the Joker's car, like, you know, trying to cut into it somehow, whatever. So I don't know how that's going to work, but like I said before, if you want to see a movie about the Suicide Squad or read about it, well, you know, if you want to see a movie, look for Attack on Arkham. It's actually really good. It's a DC animated movie, and it's actually pretty bloody, pretty just really nice movie. You should check that out. It's actually very well done. But I think that brings us to the end of the show, and you know. Just want to remind everybody to, you know, rate and subscribe us on iTunes. And, you know, we're also on Stitcher. Not on Spotify yet. Apparently, it's pretty difficult to get there. But don't forget to check out GamingRebellion.com and check out all the good articles and, you know, the good people that's there. The community is awesome, because that's where the main podcast is as well. You know, and, you know, hit us up there. You know, watch our show. Comment. Do the damn thing over there, Game Rebellion. But, you know, until next time, people. I should say, we will be taking a week off so that everybody can digest E3, which is coming up in, what, 2 weeks or a week or so?
It's not this will go up on Monday, right. And then the following Monday is when E3 will be going on. So,
right, yeah. So
yeah, we'll be off that week, so that way the next time we come back, we'll probably be recording on a Thursday, so we won't be able to comment on what happens Friday, but we will be able to talk about, you know,
everything. Right. All the goodness that's, you know, coming out of it.
Yes.
I'm sure we have a bunch of nerd rage for that one.
Because,
you know, we'd be like, who fucked up and who didn't? It's like,
where's this game? Why haven't they shown it yet?
Where's Last Guardian?
Exactly.
Oh, no, that again. I think my heart hurt now. I just don't know. That's how I feel about Last Guardian, because I did enjoy their last game. But, yeah. Anyway, folks, until next time, we'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye, guys.